Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today's devotion is titled The Snake's Problem, and I am reading out of Windows on God's World by Dr. James Tucker. Our verse is Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, because the devil used the serpent to deceive Eve in the Garden of Eden. The reptile has been the subject of much abuse. Ellen White writes that following description of the serpent as it appeared before sin, it was then one of the wisest and most beautiful creatures on earth. It had wings, and while flying through the air, presented an appearance of dazzling brightness, having the color and brilliancy of burnished gold. At the entrance of sin, the serpent was cursed to crawl on its belly instead of being able to fly about through the trees as it once did. But perhaps the snake has received far more condemnation as an animal than it deserves. It is used throughout the Bible as an illustration of sin, and there are many characteristics of snakes that suit such a description. But these traits are frequently referred to in terms of the actions or character of the devil. If we could separate the imputed characteristics of Satan from the simple living qualities of the animal, perhaps we could appreciate the value of snakes as fulfilling their part in the balance of nature. There is one physical characteristic of snakes that offer a very interesting illustration of a trait of the devil in particular, and perhaps of human beings in general. Having no legs, a snake must depend on the large scales on its belly, called scutes, to get around. These scutes overlap in such a way that the creature can move forward, but not backward. Like the snake, after which he is named, Satan got to the place where he could not back down. Following the first stage of his rebellion in heaven, God offered to forgive Satan, then called Lucifer, if he would admit his wrong words and actions and repent. He almost did. But pride, like the scutes of the snake, would not let him back down. We must learn a lesson from Satan's history. Don't let pride keep you from saying you're sorry. Don't let pride keep you from repenting. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, give us a humble and learning spirit today. Help us to treat all mankind as you would treat them. Help us to treat our own bodies with respect. Lord, we love you so much, and we ask that your thoughts and our thoughts be connected. I ask that you, your Holy Spirit, fill each home with love and joy. And Lord, we look so forward to you coming again. Please come quickly. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, I love snakes. I've had snakes for quite a few years as classroom pets and in my house. And growing up in Nigeria, we had tons of snakes. Cobras and black mambas, green mambas. Well, I don't advise you having those kinds of snakes, and I don't even know why my parents let me have those kinds of snakes. But it's really created a love for snakes. So I put on my Pinterest site, I put how to make an easy paper origami snake that actually has kind of a snake movement. I put on two videos, how to draw a cobra and how to draw a rattlesnake. And then I put the 16 cool snake crafts for kids to create. Of course, you have to, on those, always wade through a bunch of advertisements. That can be a little irksome. So I'm just going to tell you about one simple one to do. So have your child decide what snake they want to represent. If it's a green mamba, then they would paint their paper plate green. If it was going to be like a cobra, they would need to think about how the shape of the head, and the shape of the head starts in the middle of the plate, and then you cut a spiral out of that plate. So it's nice to paint them one day and then the next day do the finishing touches as far as cutting them out, putting the eyes and tongue on. But the neat thing with this paper plate snake is you can, you know, just punch a hole in it and tie a string to it. And then when you run around, it flutters, it flies. It's also cool to hang them from the ceiling because they come down. So as you're talking about snakes and how they move and thinking about that, you can also be having some physical activity and some creativity going on. So just have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Well, I'm going to talk about my Gettysburg Learning Group. Gettysburg Learning Group, GLG, is just beginning. We have 5 high school students, and this is just to give a place where high school students, if they want, can learn from somebody else besides their parent. Anybody can join. We do have a little bit of a vetting process. You would just message me at MRG Media Ministries and say, I am interested for my high school student to join Gettysburg Learning Group. And the classes that we're currently virtually teaching, we have a retired teacher that teaches the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. He also teaches British literature and British history. And then we have another teacher that does all the math. And I just, you know, you're more than welcome to contact me through MRG Media Ministries if you think that your high school student would benefit from that. We email you their grades, and you're responsible for putting them into a transcript. And I'm happy to help you with that, too. But you're responsible for their grades. You can override the grade that we give them. For example, if we give them a B and you saw how hard they worked and you want to bump that grade up to an A, the parent is still the teacher of record. So you have that latitude. Anyway, just email me at mrgmediaministries@gmail.com and we'll set it up. It might be a great, you might be a blessing to the 5 students that I have doing this, and we might be a blessing to you. Questions parents ask. I just want to interject here because sometimes we have confusion about apostrophes. Pluralizing your name, you don't need to use apostrophes. For example, your last name. So if you are the Gamblins, it's just, you know, just ends with an S. Let's say that your last name ends in an S. Then you just add an ES. Let's say your last name ends in an XZCHSH. You just get ESs too. So the Sussex, the Lopez's, the Rodriguez's, the Thule's. Anyway, that's just a little free bit of no comma, no apostrophes are needed. No apostrophes are needed when you're talking about your surnames in the plural form. Okay, so that answered the question about how to do that. Now, this question is from Andrea, and she has 2 older children who have few friends, and she doesn't let her kids on devices, so there's not much opportunity for having friends. And what should she do? Well, I'm not totally against giving them some FaceTime and some virtual. Like I was talking about my Gettysburg Learning Group in the previous section. Part of the reason we're doing that is because our high school homeschool students feel so isolated. And we would rather create a venue where we monitor, we open up the virtual classroom at the beginning of the day, just like if it was a regular high school classroom. And then our students have classes, but there's one period. It could be called the, you know, the lounge period or the time where they can talk. They know that, you know, someone's monitoring it or not. You know, we always vet our kids. We want to make sure they're Christians and they're not, you know, bringing any bad content to the lives of others. But there needs to be a little more autonomy as your children get older where they can connect with others. That being said, I was homeschooled through 11th grade. No friends, no one my age from 6th grade on up, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 5 years. And I feel that God became more of my friend. My siblings became my younger siblings. I had an opportunity to really mentor and develop friendships with them. My parents and other adults became my friends, but I had no one my age. And I did at the time miss it, but I'm here to tell you didn't have any long-lasting side effects. So I hope that answers your question. You know, it's just my advice and take it for whatever it's worth. Please come back for the second half of the show where we're going to continue our interview with Benny DeShara, a very talented young musician. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
I'm afraid of dying. How can you help me?
Do you remember back in 1969 when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon? You don't? Why? Oh, you weren't alive yet. In essence, you were dead in 1969. How was it? Did you have a lot of pain? Were you afraid? No, you experienced none of these because you were, well, not alive. So you already know what it's like to be dead. The Bible calls it a sleep. Not a bad description, huh? Dying is another matter, although many people who've died and have been brought back to life by skilled doctors and modern medical equipment say it's no big deal. They report it's like going to sleep, which makes sense. Today, hospitals and doctors have many drugs and machines that help people who are dying do so with dignity and very little pain. So don't be afraid of dying or being dead because it's only temporary. Think of death as a very short nap between this life and Christ's second coming. Like Paul proclaimed, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55. But for now, put thoughts of dying out of your mind. It's time to live your life for Jesus and look forward to the glorious eternal life to come. You can sleep later. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Welcome. I have asked Benny DeShara to come back and share his life story with us. You can go, you know, he's this artist. He did this wonderful song called 3 Days and listen to the children, and he's writing this story about it, this song about his dad, because we want to get the good news out in a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And music is that international language. So if you want to know more, go to rockinforjesus.com. And with that, Benny, thank you so much. And I've asked that you share your story, your conversion story, with our listeners.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back. So let me start off by saying, grew up in church my entire life. We were Lutheran. I was an acolyte, like an altar boy, the whole bit, right? Vacation Bible school, 2 weeks a summer, little youth group functions, this, that, and the other. If I would have died in my younger life, I would not have gone to heaven. Being in church every single week. And it may sound shocking to some people, right? Because basically, I could tell you who God was. I could tell you who Jesus was. But I couldn't tell you about their nature. I couldn't tell you about them because I did not know them. I did not have a personal relationship with the Lord. So I wasn't saved. And I say that not lightly, because there's a lot of people who go through the motions every Sunday and they sit in church and I'm going to heaven. But unless you're saved, you will not. And it's a really hard truth. So it was a hard truth for me. So when I got saved later in my life, I knew what it was. And some people have a slow transition, right? I'll stop doing this next week, or I'll cut back on that in a couple of months. And they have like a slower transition. And that's okay, because it's individual. For me, it was a ton of bricks in one day and it was done. On a Sunday, done. So okay. Monday, my life was different.
So you were a car salesman.
Yeah.
For...
Yeah, I was a floor manager for a Toyota dealership.
Yes, I love Toyota.
You can't hurt them.
And there was this one customer, and like you were saying, you have to have that relationship. Really, everything in life is about. You sold first a car to
Miss Linda.
Miss Linda, and then to her husband.
Correct. Then her daughter.
Then her daughter.
So the whole family got a vehicle.
And then she kept inviting you to church.
Yeah, she came in and she said, "Didn't you have a rock band back in the day?" And I said, "Why, yes, yes, I did." And she said, "You should come to my church because you would really, really enjoy our music. We have a great band, this, that, and other." And so automatically, you know, your little defense mechanisms kick in. And I was like, "Well, what are you?" And she's like, "Well, I'm Miss Linda." I'm like, "I know, but like, I grew up Lutheran, so."
Yeah, are you Presbyterian, yeah. Baptist?
What are you? And she was like, "Nope. We're just straight from the Bible, just full gospel straight from the Bible." And the first thing that hit my head was, "Oh, I know who you people are," right? So I was like, "Well, that's fantastic. Yep, I'll think about that." And so as surely as I'm sitting in front of you, I lied to her for 3 months. And she would call me every week. "I didn't see you in church on Sunday." I was like, "I was busy." I'm sure none of your listeners have ever done that, but I'm just telling you straight up, that's what I did. And so after about 3 months, I had gone to a function where I'd heard some biblical truths that I've never heard before in my life. And so she called me, ironically, the week after this event and says, "I'm coming to pick you up from church on Sunday." And I said, "Well, Miss Linda, no, you're not." And she said, "Are you putting me?" I said, "Nope, I'll meet you there." "Like, what time?" She's like, 9:30, but are you sure you're coming?" I'm like, "Wait for me at the front door. I've learned some things and I need to know more, so I'll be there." So I got in my car. This is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is like this morning this happened as I'm recalling here. So I get in my car and I'm driving and I hear a voice and it's saying, "What are you doing? Where do you think you're going? You don't know these people from Adam. You've never been to this type church before." And it's the very first time that I knew what Satan sounded like. Mm. Right? And I got mad. I mean, I got mad. So I start screaming and hollering into my car. And I'm like, "I'm demanding 7 times back everything you ever stole from me." And I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just repeating stuff I had heard. Right? And I'm like, "Satan, you're losing me forever today." And I'm crying. And I look down. I'm doing 70 in a 35. So the statute of limitations covers me because this was a long time ago. And I'm just rolling there on the highway. And I'm just overcome with emotion. And I honestly can't say if that's the moment I got saved, but I knew that's what was happening mm-hmm. on this day, right? And I got to church, and I mean, if she could have knocked her ears off with her smile, they would have went flying backwards. She was so happy to see me and gives me a big hug, and I sat with them, and the music was great. The sermon was incredible. I go down for the altar call, and just devastating. And I was 35 at the time that I got saved. So I had 35 years of baggage on my back, like a military backpack almost, right? And I'm down at the altar. I give my life to Jesus. And I was free. I felt like a feather, and but I could not keep it together. And I'm just crying out to him, and I'm unloading everything in my life at that point. And four grown men who I'd never met before in my life came and surrounded me, and they were hugging me, and they were in tears praying for me. And this was a 2-hour deal. It was a big deal. And as they say, my life has never been the same.
35 years old. So What were some of the first things that dramatically changed after that day?
So I was dating a lot. So that ended the next day. As a matter of fact, the young lady that I was seeing, that got cut off the next day. I said, nope, this isn't right. See, I explained to her what happened to me, and she's like, wow, I've never been dumped for Jesus before. I'm like, well, if you're going to lose to somebody, I'm thinking it's the one. And it's just because I didn't want that as a thorn in my side as I was moving forward. Because once I got saved, I was hungry as if I hadn't eaten before. Mm. And I didn't want anything to sidetrack me from that. So that ended. I used to drink socially a bunch, especially in business settings. I didn't have many vices like that, but that was, and so that went away. And basically, I divorced my entire life and married him.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then your family, your mom and dad,
they were losing it. they were like, you're a Jesus freak. And I was like, well, you know what? Mom, dad, siblings, because I'm the oldest of six, they were all like, what has happened to you? And I'm like, unless you go through this, you're not going to understand it. And I've been called a lot of things in my life. I'm okay with Jesus freak. Just if that's what you got, bring it. And they were like, really? And you know, I think in the back of their mind, they were like, well, let's see how long this is going to last. And yes. I'm sure we all have people in our life, yes, right, where we go, I wonder how long that's going to last. And whoo, that was a long time ago, and it's just been the same, to the point where when my dad passed in October, for the ceremony that we did for him to be interned, my mother asked me to do the ceremony, which I did.
Wow.
So, well, full circle.
We're going to end this half of the show on this note. We're talking with Benny DeShera, or is it DeShera?
DeShera. Benny is perfect.
Benny. We're talking with Benny. You can go to Rockin' for Jesus, and 4 is the number 4.com. Rockin', R-O-C-K-I-N, the number 4, Jesus.com. He started rocking back then, and he's still rocking now. And you're not going to want to miss the second half of the interview. You know, I love interviewing young people and hearing their love for the Lord and recognizing that we want that most for our children, don't we? We want them to love the Lord. We want them to experience eternal salvation. Everything else is of no consequence if we cannot exemplify Jesus Christ to our children. And that being said, I hope you come back tomorrow for the conclusion of the Benny DeShera interview. God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. mrgmediaministries.com.